AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, drama and suspense in Alaska as a Mooney pilot experiences the challenging weather for which the 49th state is so justifiably famous. Find out what happens in Alaska Ice by Herb Abelson. Our flight from Boston to Alaska and back in a 1969 Mooney began on a whim. Three of us, Ron, Ivan, and me, owned the airplane during the summer of 1976. Ivan and I had instrument ratings, but were relatively inexperienced pilots. Ron had previously owned a Comanche and had the most flight time. Our airplane was well equipped for the time, with two VORs and an ADF, but no DME. We had enough VFR sectionals and low-level IFR charts and approach plates to cover all of the northern United States and southern Canada, so navigation was covered. We were all pretty busy, but the idea of the Alaska trip took hold, with Ivan and his wife-to-be, Susan, deciding to fly the Mooney to Alaska, with me meeting them in Anchorage. The dates were set and the game was on. Ivan and Susan's trip to Alaska was pretty straightforward, but endlessly exciting, especially as they covered the terrain in British Columbia and the Yukon Territories on their way to Anchorage. We had already decided that given Ivan's PIC time to and from Alaska, I would do the PIC time there, which brings me to the point of this story. We had many memorable flights during our time in Alaska. Flying around Denali and Mount McKinley on a Kavu day that was nothing short of spectacular. Landing at Homer just as an earthquake, 5.9 on the Richter scale, centered close to Kodiak Island, caused us to bounce down the runway. Flying over Kodiak Island the next day and responding with awe to the size of giant Kodiak brown bears on the western part of the island. Landing on a mountaintop in Kotzebue and in Eskimo villages along the Yukon River. But the Never Again flight took place on the way to Bethel, Alaska, in the far western part of the state. It began innocently with our enthusiasm for the trip. Local pilots were more than a bit leery of our plans to fly all over the state. Local pilots of the time were pretty much local, and they understood the flight conditions in their regions and didn't venture widely without good weather conditions. The state of Alaska is enormous, with a landmass over twice the size of Texas. Our planned trip to Bethel was certainly more than many would want to undertake, and, as it turned out, one we wish we hadn't attempted. The weather was pretty good, with the possibility of instrument conditions close to Bethel. We decided to file VFR and pick up an IFR clearance en route if the conditions dictated. We departed Anchorage in good VFR conditions through Merrill Pass and up to 10,500 feet in smooth air. We could even see a tanker ahead and above us that seemed to be going to Bethel as well. About an hour into the flight, the tanker, which was clearly faster, suddenly got swallowed up by clouds and disappeared. We were still in the clear, but getting twitchy about talking to Anchorage Center to pick up our IFR clearance. So we did, and none too soon, as the cloud layer was getting lower as we flew west. There were no VORs to cross-check our position, so we estimated. But our real problems were just beginning. The air was smooth in the clouds, and our airplane was running great at first. But soon the RPM started to drop, and we were losing altitude. We suspected carburetor ice and tried to combat it with carb heat and full power, yet we still couldn't maintain altitude. Anchorage Center said to maintain 10,000 feet, but we told them we couldn't. They said to maintain 9,000, but that didn't work either. They instructed us to maintain 8,000, but we were still descending. There was no radar coverage in our area and no VORs to cross-check our position. We were getting scared. Anchorage asked what altitude we could maintain, and we told them that we were unable to maintain level flight and that we were slowly descending now through 6,000. As best we could tell, our airplane was covered with ice. We had no forward visibility and very limited view from the side windows as we continued going down. We had maximum power, and we were hanging on the prop at about 65 knots indicated. I was just trying to keep the wings level and the stall horn silent. Ivan was looking at a sectional chart and trying to assess our position relative to the surrounding terrain. We were beyond the highest terrain and over a part of the state we thought was fairly flat without any significant towns or population centers. We were surprisingly calm and focused on getting out of our predicament. We decided that we would try to lower the gear at about 1,000 feet AGL and make a controlled, blind crash landing. We had maintained heading and were still flying toward the Bethel VOR, and then we crossed over the Bethel VOR. Reviewing instrument procedures well ahead of time can really pay off, and we hit the jackpot on this occasion. As soon as we crossed the VOR, we very, very slowly turned to the outbound heading for the VOR runway 19er approach. There was no control tower in those days, so we announced what we were trying to do on the common traffic advisory frequency. Here's the picture. We are barely nudging the plane into an outbound turn while continuously descending, desperately hoping we can get through a procedure turn and come back inbound before running out of altitude. As we ever so slowly turn inbound, there's a loud bang, and then another, which nearly paralyzed us. But we're still flying, and soon we realize the outside temperature is above freezing, and ice is coming off the prop and hitting the windshield and the tail. The windshield defroster gives us a slit of forward visibility, and through it we see the runway. The wheels come down, and then we're on it. We literally run out of altitude, and our controlled crash is on the runway. We were stunned, shaking, and ecstatic. My legs were so wobbly that I could barely step out of the airplane. In fact, we slipped and fell off the wing and had to stay down on the tarmac, and yes, we did kiss it, to keep from falling down, which gave us the opportunity to see that our little Mooney was an ice cube. We were so very lucky after we had gotten ourselves into a terrible situation. In retrospect, we did not get a complete enough weather briefing, and we were flying into a remote part of the state in questionable weather conditions with only minimal instrumentation. But most important, we could have and should have turned around at the first sign of icing and returned to the good weather behind us. We did not have to get to Bethel that day, or any day. With the perfect hindsight that more than 30 years can bring, I now know that we were impetuous, dangerously overconfident, given our level of experience, and disrespectful of the vast expanse and fickle weather of our most northern state. The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by the Air Safety Foundation. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. You can also visit the Air Safety Foundation at aopa.org/asf. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safe.